I figure sometimes when Satan attacks, I said, just leave Satan alone. Don't complain about him. Just thank God for what he does for us. He brings us through all these troublesome times. So just praise God and keep him on your mind. Keep him on your heart. Because the enemy never going to leave us while we're on this earth. But God will carry us through. Amen. We're going to read this morning from St. Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 34. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord, for the many blessings, Lord, you have brought forth to us. Lord, you have made ways that seem impossible. Lord, and you give us food when we didn't know where we're coming from. Lord, you brought us through many places and you blessed us. You're blessed to have our homes, God, and it's just continually. Lord, we look at the many things that the enemy is doing day by day, destroying, killing people for no reason. But Lord Jesus, we still have you to look unto. And this day, Lord, we ask you to bless our hearts, bless us, and strengthen us. Lord, let us learn how to love those that don't love us. Lord, teach us to be at peace with those who would destroy us. God, you are ever what we have need of. And this day we are depending upon you. And we ask you for your words that we hear. Lord, that you open them up, that they become a part of our hearts and our life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Going to read St. Mark 5:21 through 34. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea.
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet.
And he brought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.
And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him.
And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years,
and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse.
When she had heard of Jesus come in the press behind, and touched his garment.
For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.
And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she fell in her body, that she was healed of the plague.
Amen. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, touch my clothes.
And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, saith thou, who touched me?
And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing.
But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that she had done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, be of faith and made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing 380, He Touched Me. Amen. As our brother gets ready to come out. Amen. shackled by a heavy
to him again.
He touched me.
Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Think about it.
Oh, and someday
it really happened.
And now
you remember that day? You remember that day when he touched you? If you haven't been touched, you need to get the touch, because you'll never forget it. It'll be with you for as long as you live. If you ever get that Holy Ghost inside, it'll lead you and guide you into all, right? All truth. Not just a few. All truth. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, say, God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Bless you. God bless you, buddy. Good to be here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here again. Like I said, it's just home folks today. Well, Micah's decided it's not home folks, but that's okay. Am I on? I'm sorry. Sister Lily has. She's just one of us now. So, Brother Micah is too. It's good to have him today with us. Amen. Good to have him. I'm going to give you an update here. Let me get finished with this. I'll give you an update on Brother Mike. I went over there yesterday and after work and went to visit him. And he's got a long road to go. And he's 80 years old. But that don't mean nothing to God. When Brother Brown said, Brother Dow, I'll shake your hand again. Brother Dow was in his 90s. All kind of problems and issues, but we need to pray for him. He does have a brain bleed. They're not concerned with that. He was T-boned. The lady hit him in his side, so that's where the most damage was. And his head hit the column. Didn't have side airbags. It's a Ford. But anyway, he told me he was still in pretty good spirits. He said, you know what? He said, somebody said if you didn't drive a Ford, you wouldn't go in the rapture. I said, you're not going to be driving that Ford no more. I promise you that. It actually hit so hard it knocked the motor out of it. It broke the motor away from the transmission. That's how hard it hit. And that was pretty rough. But anyway, so he's got a brain bleed. They're not worried about that. They had a little cover over his head. He had a strong handshake. We held hands for about 20 minutes and talked about the Lord and talked about, you know, things that were going on. He was actually going to a brother in his church had died, and he was going to visit the family to set up the arrangements for the funeral. And that's when he pulled out in front of the lady and got hurt. So just remember that family too in prayer, because Brother Mike won't be able to do the funeral. And but he's got a brain bleed. He's got they're not cracked ribs; they're broke because they punctured his lung, because it hit on this side. Punctured his lung, so they've drained the fluid out of his lungs. So he's doing better there. His arm from here to here is Sister Janet said bad. And it was in one of those air casts, so you couldn't really see what was going on. But that's not a concern either. He had open heart surgery a year ago almost, to the month or two. And I guess being 80, you heal slower. We know that. But when he hit, it tore a piece of his aorta. Now, I know you didn't know your medical terms. The aorta is that big vessel. And even at the time, if they had him open and on the operating table, if that aorta burst, they cannot save him. But there's a God. Amen. There's a blood clot that's keeping it from bursting right now. So they're going in tomorrow, laparoscopic, and they're going to try to repair or put a shunt, stent, whatever, stent. In that part to keep him stable. But he is immobile. He can't move. He does have all of his wits about him. Yeah, he was still joking yesterday. But that's Brother Mike. Sister Janet's okay. She had to wear a neck collar. She didn't break anything. The first report was she broke her big bone in her leg, but that was not. It just was bruised. And so she was up there, and she and I and Sister Sarah had a conversation outside after we left, Brother Mike. And just keep him in prayer, because it's going to be a long road, long recovery for our brother. But we need to pray him through this aorta part first. That's the pending thing right now. His arm's not life-threatening. The doctor said the brain bleed. He's had two CAT scans, and they said it's not getting any worse. It's getting better. So even within 2 days, it's getting better. So they're not worried about the brain bleed. So we're not worried about that. And the arm will take care of itself later on, and so will the ribs. But that aorta, listen, you and I are that far from death anyway. Right here today. Right? Heart just quit pumping. You're gone. Have a blowout. You're gone. So by the grace of God, we're here. And by the grace of God, he's still here. So we're just going to keep him in prayer and just keep holding him up before the Lord so that he'll get better again. I told him that we would help all we could in our assembly. We would help his assembly any way we could, as far as sending preachers or taking care of the church work. Because you know what? Church has got to go on. We don't want the shepherd smitten and the sheep scattered. He's got some good sheep over there. He's got some good people. And I told him we'd help him. So we maybe later on, after he gets out of the hospital, I told him we'd meet at home and talk about that if we need to. But he just needs to get better now, get that aorta fixed, and get out of the hospital. But he's in really good care there at Augusta University Hospital. So it's a really good facility. And they've got him in ICU, so only a couple of people can go see him at a time. Also, I want you, this is how God works. Mark is his son, and Mark has some problems and in life. And about 2 years ago, he turned away from the message and hadn't spoken to his daddy in almost 2 years. He was in there today, or yesterday, Because that was my first question. I said, where's Mark? And Sister Sarah said, I don't know. I said, I don't know if he'll come visit him or not. Well, Janet comes out of the ICU, and she said, oh, you can go back there now. I said, Mark's back there. And I thought, well, praise God. Amen. There he was, standing beside his daddy. Amen. I've always had a soft spot for him because he's really emotional. And I told him, I said, well, God's going to take care of your daddy, son. But God needs to take care of him. But that may have been just to drive them back together again. We know God works in mysterious ways, but I'm telling you, we got to believe that God knows best. It doesn't matter if we don't think he knows best. He knows best. He's got this thing already figured out. And like I said before, the Lord's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Amen. But he let Brother Mike go down this road for a reason. And we know that he'll not forsake him. And I believe he'll bring him out of that. Amen. Bring him home. And mend quicker than the doctors will ever think he'll mend. Because what Janet said about his arm was that it was really bad. But they're not concerned with it right now because of the side it was hit. It was really crushed. He could move his hand just a little bit. I asked him, I said, are you hurting? He said, only when I cough or burp. He had to take some medicine. It was making him burp. Well, that part in his chest was hurting, and that's about the only, he said, other than that, he said, I'm not hurting. Of course, they probably had him on some pain medicine, but just keep him in prayer. I needed to go see him. He's been a rock for this whole, for our family for years and years and years. He's just a fountain of wisdom, and that's what I said going over. I said, God, don't take that away from me. Don't take that away from your bride. We need that man. We need his wisdom, and we need his comfort. He's just a comfort to be around. Amen. We all know Brother Mike. We've known him for years. So let's remember him in prayer. Special prayer. Every time you go to your knees, you pray for Brother Mike Olteague. Amen. And we'll hear some good reports. Brother Aaron will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Remember, the Bethel camp will be coming up pretty quick. We'll get all that together. I think some of them are flying in on Wednesday from Ohio. Excuse me. I got a little tickle in my throat. Also, remember, after the second service, we'll have Pastor Appreciation Month. Ice cream and all for or cake for Brother Dale downstairs after second service. Remember, November the 5th, we'll have no Bible study. November the 6th, there'll be one service because we've got to go to some kind of function anyway. Zach and Lily kind of messed that whole Sunday up. I was leaving going hunting. So anyway. Well, we're only going to have one service. Then we go to the wedding at 4 o'clock. Make sure you RSVP. Do not get there early. Please take your time. Don't get there at 3:30. For those of us that like to be early, we're just going to have to go somewhere else and wait. All right? So also remember now, later on, November the 13th, there'll be one service. November's next week, guys, so I got to make these announcements. November 13th, one service. We'll have our Thanksgiving dinner. And by the way, if you can find a whole turkey, buy it. I'm not kidding. There will be a very bad shortage of turkeys before Thanksgiving. So if you find a whole turkey, buy about five or six of them, and I'll buy some of them from you. But they only got turkey breasts now at Walmart. But the avian bird flu took over earlier this year and killed like 40-something million turkeys and chickens. So buy your turkeys early. That won't cost you anything for that one, but just make sure you buy you some turkeys if you like turkeys for Thanksgiving. I don't know what Mom and Dad's going to do. They go to Cracker Barrel on Thursday because that's the turkey and dressing day, and I don't know, they might not get turkey and dressing for a while. So they'll figure something out. November the 20th, Brother Andrew Glover will be here preaching. I will be gone. I'll be in Illinois and Brother Hyatt's. And also, remember now, every year for the past several years, we have switched Wednesday night service before Thanksgiving Day. We've switched it to Tuesday. So we will be having November the 22nd on Tuesday. We'll be having our midweek service on that Tuesday. All right, everybody with me on that. November 22nd, church on Tuesday. And we'll be announcing a little bit more. Also, remember, December the 4th will be our Christmas dinner. We'll have one service here, and then we'll go to Hidden Acres to do as we have the last couple of years. So also remember, young people, excuse me, practice after the first service. After first service, practice. All right, the young people, practice with Sister Christine and Sister Collins. Okay, everybody with me? You love the Lord? All right, if you can remember all that, you're better than I am because I have to write it down. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the word, for the Holy Spirit. Now I pray that Holy Spirit will water the word, Lord. And it'll sink deep in our heart, Lord, today as we talk about you just for a few moments, Lord. We've made all the announcements. We've sang our songs. We took up the offering. We've done responsive reading. Now I pray, Lord, that all these promises that you have in store for us, that you'll just dump them on us today, Lord. Just give us a double portion of your blessing today, Father. Be with Brother Mike, Lord, and just continue to keep him on our heart. And everyone here, the people all over the world praying for him, that'll beat back that devil of sickness. That'll take that room right now and just illuminate it with the angel standing around that bed. For that soldier that's been laboring for years, Lord, we pray that you'd just come now, Lord, and keep the pain away. And the doctors are going to do what they're going to do. But, Lord, you're the healer. You're the one that's going to put that piece back together in his aorta. The doctors are going to do the best they can, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you will guide the doctor's hand tomorrow, Lord. And that Brother Mike will be up and home in no time, Father. Lord, we give you all the praise and honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. This is part 65, I think. I missed that. I think it's 65. All right. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, this is where we'll talk a little bit more today about the mind. I hadn't been able to get off of it. I've been thinking a little bit more, and we'll get into it as we go. You know, Brother Brown said the right mental attitude. 57 times. I was reading you. We're going to read them this afternoon. We'll read them, a few of them. I got them run off for you in there. The right mental attitude, not your working up, not your getting a gold star for reading your Bible, not coming to church every Sunday. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. Any promise. We say, well, that's for healing. No, any promise. This statue of perfect man is promised to make us into the image of God. Amen. Right? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was telling Brother Bob, you know, Brother Branham spent all the time telling you that, remember, you got to take it from here down to here. Right? That 16 inches between here to here, you got to have it drop from mental to here. Well, now, in the end time, though, we've got to take it from here and bring it back up to here. Because we got to have the mind of Christ. We got to have the renewing of our mind. We can't be a double-minded man. We can't be a double-minded bride. We've got to take what's here now and break it up to here. And then what? That's where the body change comes. You get born again, then you start back up here for the body change. That every one of you should know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. That you be not what? Conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? That you may prove. You're proven today. You're proving today, one way or the other, where God's right or the devil's right. And we know the devil's not right. You just don't have the right mental attitude. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. Just pray for me today. I don't know why I got a tickle in my throat. But remember now, as we were talking about, as we went through all this, and with the summation of everything I've been trying to get you to see, Luke 8, verse 45, Brother Colley read it. Mark, remember, somebody touched Jesus' garment and she was made whole. So she had the right mental attitude. She said, if I can get to him, if I can just touch his garment, not him pray, not him do anything, just me touch his garment, then I'll be made whole. All right? That's how simple it is. What we try to do is we get it up here so much till this is where we muddle it up. Listen. If you're born again in your soul, that's God, that's positive, that's eternal. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Right here. This is where the battleground is, not here. Right. You've already fought the battle if you got the new birth. Now, if you don't have the new birth, then you still got a battle down here. You got a heart battle. Right. You need a change of heart. But once you get a change of heart, And, you know, you preachers around the message, just like I said, you got that group over here that says, well, we got to get them, you know, we got to get emotional. And this over here says, we don't need the emotion, we need the word. Bring them together. Always, this church has always been balanced. Bring it together. Bring it to where we do get emotional every once in a while. But as me and Brother Bob was talking, listen, folks, let me tell you something. This church has no excuse to not go up to the statue of perfect man. None. Why? Because you got churches that are still preaching two-soul doctrine. You got churches in the message that are still preaching two lords. You got people message preaching Daniel 70 weeks wrong. You got them preaching the seals wrong. You got all these wrong doctrines. God is going to, yes, God will. I promise you, he'll bring some of them up. But not as a body, as a church body. He can't do that. He cannot bring you up that statue of perfect man with false word. That's why Peter is the one that started on the day of Pentecost. And then now Peter comes to bring these faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, right? Because he had them. I'm going to read you a quote here in a few minutes where Brother Brown said, the apostles were not like us. Wow. The apostles were not like us. They would step out, preach a sermon, and didn't care what anybody thought about them, and they walked off. I'll read it to you here in just a few minutes. Amen? Because remember, they had all these virtues. They didn't have false doctrine. Sure, there was grievous wolves. Sure, there was little things that was going on, little foxes that were spoiling the vine, but there was a true church there. And that true church was being built on what? The statue of a perfect man. They just didn't have the headstone, and that's what me and you got to have this right before the headstone can come. There's no way you can put a roof on a house unless you got the walls right. Oh, you might want to. But it's going to fall. It's going to fall. It's not going to stay steady. Brother Brown said in the Statue of Perfect Man, said the first thing you got to do is be born again. And I'm trying to harp on this more and more. Really, don't think you're born again. You got to know that you know that you know that that has dropped from a mental attitude down to here. Then let that work its way back up into your mind, and that's where the battle is. I'll read you a scripture in a minute where James says a double-minded man is unstable. Should I go to church? Should I not? That's a promise of God. Should I, or should I? You see where the battle is? Listen, if y'all don't have a battle, then I'm just preaching to me, and I'm going to just keep preaching to me till I get okay. All right? The rest of y'all can just sit there and look at me with a bug eyes if you want to, but what are you talking about? No, you got to become a new creation, though. You got to be able to, when Monday comes, you got to be able to what? Discern. Discern when the devil talks to you, because like Brother Dale's always said, the devil is not one of these. No, he's got a nice little sweet voice. Oh, go ahead. It's not going to hurt anything. Just do it. Go ahead. God may be the one that says, hey, dummy, stop. I'll read you a quote here this afternoon where Brother Branham gave us a formula to get what we need. He gave us a formula. It starts with knowing the will of God first, not your will. We've been talking about selfishness. We've got to get away. There's no way we can come up to the statue of perfect man and be selfish. You got to be able to give what you got. Give what you got. To me, that's virtue. Jesus gave what he had. Peter and whoever it was, Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, they gave what they had. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have. Not what I can go read in a quote book. Come on, somebody. Wait till I go to church on Wednesday. We ought to try doing that every once in a while. Come to church on Wednesday and let me just get this little added. No. They were walking down the road and they were probably going to Walmart. Let me bring it to now. And this guy's standing there beggar, and he says, I need some money. And Peter's like, we're poor. But what I have, I'm going to give it to you. And what? Strength, virtue went out of him to what? Give that guy what he had been. What? Listen, that guy had been from his youth. Had that infirmary from his youth. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Rise up and walk. Amen? So now we're commissioned. This is our commission. Leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. As I said before, people can make excuses in different places, but listen, more is given, more is required. All right? So you've been given more. We've been given more, so we're required. Somebody is going to break this chain of death. It just might as well be us. Amen. It just might as well be me and you. It just may as well be right here in this congregation today. Start. You got to start somewhere. Today is the day of your salvation. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance to dead works and faith toward God. You know, I was thinking the other day, in my mind, we let that thing so overcome us. Remember, I'm going to tell you here in just a few minutes, it's all in your head. How many times have you fabricated something in your head and it never come to pass? About 6 million this week. Amen? Never come to pass. It never even turned out the way you thought it would turn out. That's your thinking. But when God thinks about something, it always comes to pass. And that's why we have to shift into that mind of God. Let this come up here. Let this come up here. That's why you got to be born again here. Let this come up. Amen. Into what? Not stinking thinking of the world, but the thinking of the mind of Christ. Amen. But the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, we need to not get away from that as far as putting it to the side, but we need to build on that. We need to build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We need to build what? Build up a house. How? Listen to the word of God. Listen to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints. They asked Brother Brown one time, said, Brother Brown, we can't get perfect. How many times have you ever heard somebody tell you that? I just can't perfect and you ain't perfect. Yeah, well, the Bible says you're supposed to be. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, me and you. Yeah. For the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come what? To the unity of the faith. Look and see. It's not a unity at all. We're divided. Even in the message, we're divided. Amen. But the world is so divided, they don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. I went to get blood the other day. And you know what? You ought to get blood if you can. Sorry, you're helping human beings. June's like a galleon zillionaire. She's given so many gallons of blood, there's more of her in that building than there are sitting here today. They love her, buddy. They get the pump out when she comes in. You know, it's like fill her up or take it away from her. Well, anyway, so I went and gave blood. And they asked me the first question at birth. Are you a male or female? Wow. Hold on a minute. I'm not done. The next question is, do you still consider yourself? And you had to check one of the two. Now that you're, in other words, you're older. Do you consider yourself still a male, in other words? Help me, Lord. And I told that lady sitting there, I think it was Yolanda who was sitting there, and I said, she said, you have to answer the question. So I answered the question. So now listen, there should be no more gender reveal parties. Because the world says we're supposed to wait till they're 5 or 6 and let them decide if they're a boy or a girl. So why do you need to shoot something and make pink go off when that girl wants to be a boy? Do you see how Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't this bad? You know why Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have internet? And didn't have all these sites and apps and websites and all that other kind of stuff. But you and I, if this promises we got to come to the unity of faith, we will do that. Yes. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look, that we henceforth be no more children. Be no more babies. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, what? Preachers. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But look, speaking the truth in love. May grow up. Now, the truth in love is the correct doctrine. May grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body. Now, you and I are the body, not your natural body, but your body, the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted. Like I said before, you better make sure you get it compacted because the devil will absolutely stick his nasty finger wherever you got a crack. Amen? But it's promised that we're going to be compacted. It's promised that in this age, You know, a long time ago when they couldn't fly a rocket up into the atmosphere, you know, they just got in an airplane. And the airplane, as I explained to you a long time ago, about the speed of sound. When you get that, whatever his name was, Chuck Yeager, he would get almost to the speed of sound or the other people, and they would stop because everything started shaking. They thought, it's going to explode. But what did Chuck Yeager do? He said, I don't know what I did. I just pushed it on forward and went further. When you break that sound barrier, it's just like cool water. He said it just straightened. Well, that's what me and you. Push it. I'm telling you today, push it. Push it to its limit, because listen, God has no limit. Well, I don't know. It may shake me. Shake me. Shake me, but look, take that stick and push it forward. Take that stick and push it up the statue of perfect man. Because, like, listen, the right mental attitude, you got to ask God for virtue. God, let me take what I got. Teach me how to use it. And that's why he gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to what? To teach us how to do it. Amen. To teach us how to become. Listen, Paul never in his life. Everybody with me? It's hot in here. Never, and y'all going to start falling asleep. Aaron, if you don't come, please come up here and check this thing out. Turn it on. I know we're in between seasons. It's cold outside, and it's warm in here, and then when you balance it out, the air conditioner never comes on because it's cool out there. But we need some air conditioning right now. But we need the mind of Christ. We don't need to, what, be conformed to the world. So listen, when we start up this statue of perfect man, we've got to be totally contrary to our whole life. Our whole general life, we've got to be totally contrary. Totally contrary to everything you have grown up in your life, whether you're 80 or 8. Everybody with me? Because we've got to take up his cross. We do, each one of us. It's an individual affair with God. It's not the preacher and you. It's not your wife and you. It's you and God. Amen. Mama don't go, won't hinder me. Sister don't go, won't hinder me. That's our problem. Like I said before. And where do we fabricate that? Right here. We fabricate it right here in our brain. I'm going to find that quote somebody said. I'll find it somewhere, and I know, brother, if I do say it, well, Brother Joe's up here. Usually when I say something, he's up there, and he goes, here's what he said. But there was somebody, a doctor or somebody, a psychologist, said you spend 90% of your time worrying about stuff or about, like, Donnie, what Donnie thinks of me and what this one thinks of me, when they spend 2% worrying about you. You spend 90% of your time worried about what everybody else thinks about you. And they're not worrying about you at all. They got their own problems to worry about. I'll find that, though. I die daily, Paul said. But Paul never, let me get back to Paul never heard about a seal. Paul died before John went to Patmos. He never heard of seal 1, seal 2, seal 3. He really never heard of the church ages. Everybody with me? Now, he probably had something, he knew he had something to do with Ephesians because he knew he was their messenger or the prophet. I'm pretty sure he knew he was a prophet when he was penning all this thing. But what he was doing, he was penning the seals so me and you can read them. Amen. He never mentioned them. But he said, we need to know the deep things of God. Amen. We need to, in other words, we need to grow up. We need to do this. We need to do that. You know, Paul was a wonderful man, but he died way before even John came on, and then the church age messenger started coming after that. But we all look back. Brother Brown said, what do? We look back to Paul, the pattern messenger. So what he did, we pattern after that. Amen. He built churches. What did he do? He helped them grow. Spent some time. Got a brother established, and he went and established. He didn't just say, well, bless God, just do the best you can, and he takes off. No, Paul was patient. He would get him established in Ephesus. He'd go to Corinth. He may have spent a little more time in Corinth than he did anywhere else. But they were Corinthians, the book of correction. So the Corinthians, they had all these, kind of like us, had all these sayings and doctrines and all these different issues. And Paul, what did he do? He stayed there with them, and he got a bride out of them. Because remember, he listed all that whole stuff that we used to be. wasn't good people. He said, "But such were some of you, but you're washed.
Amen.
You're sanctified, in other words, with the blood of Jesus Christ."
Yes.
And Paul stood up one day and said, "Now you're going to be judged by what I say. You're going to be judged by my gospel."
Yes. Right.
Folks, you're going to be judged by the gospel's priest here.
Yes. Right.
You're not going to be judged by the gospel priest in Happy Valley.
That's right.
Or anywhere else you want to say. Right here. This is where you're going to be judged by. You're not even going to be judged by what's said in Jeffersonville. For so it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence. That's what I want to do. Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You say, "Brother Wade, that's kind of hard." Can we read that one more time? I didn't say that. Peter did. The one that says you got to have patience, the one that says you got to have all these virtues said, "For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Israel in the church, Brother Ram said, "Now we got to come to full doctrine. I like good shouting meetings." So do we. We like that. But now bubble dancing and all that stuff, but when what? In other words, when Monday happens. When the rubber meets the road, when you're out there by yourself and you can't get to a preacher, you can't get to, you know, somebody that you, what, pull virtue from. You got to start having it yourself. You don't know where you're standing. We must know as a church where we're standing. Amen? Let's get back and find out. Find out what's making us do that. That's what we're doing today. Let's find out what's making us be still here. 60-something years after the prophet said, the rapture's overdue. 60 years. The rapture's overdue. What's the problem? Look in the mirror. No, it's Brother Brown's fault. Well, no, I don't think so. No, it's your fault. Now look, Brother Brown said, "All right, look. But when it comes to the showdown, that's what we're coming to, folks. I'm telling you, just like I said before. God is going to make you make a decision one way or the other. You got to make a choice. One way or the other, before you pass away, before you take your last breath, are we going to fall into body change? You're going to have to make a choice. One way or the other. But when it comes to the showdown, are you able to possess the thing that you profess to have? That's the thing, brother. We've got to get it. We've got to take it. It's ours. But you'll fight for every inch. You know, I've talked about battleship and cruise ship. You know, on a cruise ship, when we went on a cruise, me and June, it was just so nice, and everybody was so nice, and the guys would, you know, bring us nice linens, and there was no enemies on that boat. I mean, we just had a good time. When you get on a battleship, everybody on that ship, including the cook, knows how to fire a rifle, including the cook, and including the janitor, and including the maintenance man. He knows how to fight. Amen? And when, you know what? When it said all hands on deck, it meant all hands on deck. There would be thousands of them like ants that'd run up there on the deck and start fighting. Because it's a battle. It wasn't a cruise ship. It was a battleship. You either get killed or kill, one of the two. We've all tried. Every Christian, every son, every child that comes to God is tried by the Word to see if you'll be loyal to it. Who tries you by the Word? God does.
Amen.
God does.
Right.
Look at Job. That was Job. Job was a righteous man. Good man. Did everything right. Look what happened to him. But in the very end, we're still talking about Job. Is God still talking about you? You think about that. Is God still talking about you? We're still talking about Job. Because you're written epistles. They're going to ask you. I promise you, when we get over there, they're going to say, "What age did you come from?" They said, "Well, we are out of Laodicea." They said, "Come, sit down and tell me." Because the Bible I read said, "Yo, that was the nastiest age there ever was." See if you'll be loyal to it when the showdown comes. How many times that's showdown? There's going to be a showdown, folks. You're either going to be ready for it, though. But now what if you took the battleship and the cruise ship and switched all the crew people? The cruise ship over here, their crew goes over here and gets in the battleship, what's they going to do? I just know how to put knives and forks on a table. And he's over here saying, well, I'm not equipped. How can I fight with this? But you know what? Them that are trained to fight, they still going to take that fight over there in that cruise ship. And if they have to use knives and forks, they'll kill you with them. Same way with the devil. Brother Brown said, if you don't have no teeth in your head, say, gum him to death. Chew on him. Don't let that guy have any upper hand. Because where is it at? Not here. If you're born again, it's right here. Right here is where we're losing it. In the mind. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's all in your head. I thank God we're still going to have memory. We're definitely still going to have memory when we get there, right? But it's not going to be memory of the bad. It's going to be memory of the good. It's not going to be memory that, hey, like Brother Mike, I was thinking about that. I said, you know, when we get over on the other side, he's not even going to have a pin in his body. Danny, where you at, buddy? Not even a scar. That's what God will do. That's the power of God. It'll take your body, change it, take all the scars out of it, put everything back. If you had your appendix took out, they put the appendix back in. All that, it's a change of the body. Is everybody with me? Amen. Amen. So you ought to be happy. Amen. This is just light affliction. If you ask Mike Oldtie today, what is your problem? He said, oh, this is just light affliction. Because what? It's his attitude. Yes. And he that cannot stand chastisement but goes on with the world, he is an illegitimate child and not a son or daughter of God. Certainly not. You know, I was thinking the other day. You got Paul. Paul's preaching away. And he's preaching and he's telling the people about the resurrection. And then all of a sudden, who is it? Philetus and Hymenaeus. They go off and start preaching his doctrine that the resurrection had already come. Well, you know, he didn't mind rebuking them from the pulpit. Hello, somebody. Amen. He said, Simon the coppersmith has caused me all kind of problems. The seven sons of Sceva, they're against me. Demas has forsaken me. And that's in the Bible. But the spiritually minded catches the word, lines up with it, and the spirit comes down under the shed blood and takes that person. You know, you would be a celebrity if you said, this alien came down. Jonas said, this alien came down and took me up in a ship. And he had like one eye. He's green. But he spoke English. He'd be a celebrity. But tell somebody that you had what? God. Come down.
Amen.
And take you somewhere in your soul. Take you into another dimension. And change your mind and make your attitude different. You're not going to be on the front page of the paper. You're going to be in the back part where they put the nuts. I was abducted by an alien. Didn't the Bible say we're aliens? Huh? We're alienated. We're aliens of this world. When you get to new birth, God comes down and burns out the old you, the old world. And it makes you a new creature, a new creation. Look, it's a paradox. Remember, we talked about the three Hebrew children. We'll continue through that. But remember, every time you go through a trouble or a trial, remember, it's to loose you. Because the Heavenly Father's not going to ever bind you. He's going to loose you. So everything you go through, and that's sometimes what a man has to do. Come out, make his stand, get the thing out. He's talking about somebody drowning. And get him out of the thing so he can get the thing out of him. We got to get out of our stinking thinking. We got to get out of our, I can't make it. I'm going to read you this afternoon where Brother Brown talks about the right mental attitude. He said, you've got to believe what you believe. You got to literally believe what you're thinking. Because sometimes we don't believe what we're thinking. Everybody with me? Why? If it's of God, it's got to be positive. Now, there's a perfect way and a permissive way. And I feel if the God here on the platform can show me things that's been in my rooms and so forth, talking about private interview, he's able to tell me just where he wants me and what he wants me to do. But I feel as long as I've got it all hooked up, another I, selfish me, then he won't put his hand on it as long as I'm doing it. And that's the way it is anything. As long as you're going to do it, if someone talks about you and you talk back about them, God can't fight your battle. You're fighting it yourself. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said if somebody speaks against you, if you don't speak against them, what does it do? It heaps coals of fire on top of them. It heaps it all back to them. But no, here we want to do. We want to know. We want to give them a piece of our what? Piece of our what? Oh, it's all in the mind. If you give them a piece of your soul, you want to give them the Holy Ghost. No, we want to give them a piece of our mind when the guy cuts us off. And body sometimes, if back in the world, you get that one finger wave. Why? Because you know what? That's what was motivated in you, though. And I have an issue with that. Not shooting birds. But I have an issue with people, you know, not driving right. So, I got another issue that I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell you right now. The Lord has corrected me on one thing. Besides the other 700, this is one. So, 699, I'm not telling you, but this one I'm going to. Somebody help, Sister Tootsie. You know. There you go. You know, how many times have I told y'all I like one kind of cat? It's well known. A dead one. I don't like cats. I never have liked cats. Brother Branham even says they carry spirits, okay? But I think I'm going to go get me a cat. I ain't even told June that, but the Lord, listen, y'all think it's funny. The Lord has convicted me on that. You know what? Brother Branham stood up one day and he called them Rickies and Rickettas and all these different things. And Brother Branham said, God took me behind the woodshed, in other words, and told me, he said, you stop that. He said, those are my people. Well, God said, you stop that the other day. He said, that's my creature. He said, that's a part of my economy. That's a part of my nature. So I'm probably going to go get a cat. What Brother Branham say do if you don't like something? Do the vice versa. Isn't that what he said? If you want to quit stealing, I mean quit being selfish, start giving stuff away. Mikey, you didn't know I was going to preach on cats today, did you? The greatest weapon. Look, y'all don't understand what I just said. That's freedom. That's freedom just to change my attitude toward one item. It wasn't seals and plagues and vials. It was a kitty cat. I'm telling you, I looked at him as just, let's run over that. But not anymore. Oh, and y'all don't have nothing. Y'all just sitting there go, wow. We need to pray for Brother Wade. My Lord, him and his cat thing. Well, guess what? Come up here and tell me what yours is. Are you too embarrassed? Huh? Are you too embarrassed? But you know what? It's freedom now. You know what that did? That bound me. You say, oh, no. Yeah, it does. Because it bothered me. And God brought it to my attention. None of y'all did. Because you knew how I felt about it. But God said, hey, in other words, that's my animal. That's my nature. I created that. I had a guy tell me the other day, he works in the Gainesville post office, but he lives on my postal route. And I told him, I said, look, I said, I've seen so many squirrels. Have y'all not seen so many squirrels? Squirrels on top of squirrels. People don't go squirrel hunting anymore. So there's squirrels everywhere. There's one curve down on my route, and I call it Squirrel Curve. There's probably 50 of them in there. And he said, I don't try to dodge them. I run over them. I try to dodge them. I'll wreck that vehicle before I hit a poor old squirrel. My attitude versus his. He said, I just try to run over them with his mail jeep, you know. I said, well, I don't try to run over them. I said, I try not to hit them. But you see that? The right mental attitude, though. You say, that don't mean nothing to me. Well, something may mean to you what I just said, something you're working with or something you're dealing with, just give it to God. And look, do the vice versa. Do the opposite. Boy, that's a lot of revelation. Well, that's what the prophet said. Look, it's a committal to God. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to him and God will take care of it. Absolutely. What's the problem? We try to take care of it. How many of us have tried to save our kids? Let us all. have a confessional today? Okay. You can't do it. You turn them over to God. God, you know best. You know how to get them here. You got me here. Right? You got me here. In the muck I was in, you got me here. Bring them here. So an army first getting ready for a battle. First thing got to be a select some soldiers. They got to be dressed for fighting. They got to be trained for fighting. Is what we've been talking about a few minutes ago. And I believe that the greatest battle that was ever fought is now ready. Is now ready to go into action. Now. Not 1960 what, two? No. They fought a different battle than me and you. 1962, they fought a different battle than me and you fight. They're fighting just to stay alive in the Christian realm. You and I are fighting for a body change. You and I are fighting for going up the stature of perfect man. Bringing Jesus Christ back to the earth in me and you. That's what we're fighting for. Amen? Because that's our mandate. The greatest battle ever fought is now ready to go into action. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. I believe he's been dressing them, training them, and the battlefront is now set, getting ready to start. We know where that's at, right? Yes. By the title of the sermon, right. The greatest battle ever fought. There has to be a place selected. There's a mutual ground, a no man's land, and they fight at that place. They just don't one fight over here and one run over here. There's a battlefront where they meet and test their powers. Where each army tests its strength against the other, a mutual meeting place. Now, don't miss this. When the great battle started on earth. Now, remember, he's talking about the battle that started in heaven. There was a battle in heaven first. Michael and his angels against the devil and his angels. Satan was cast down here. Now, Brother Brown said, now the battle's down here. That's why I said before, redemption didn't happen in heaven. It was formulated in heaven in the mind of God. But redemption happens on the earth because something's got to fall.
All right,
and we fell. So we got to what? Be redeemed back. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battleground begins in the human mind. There's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle where it was begin, and that is because that decisions are made from the mind, the head. That's what we'll talk about this afternoon, though. When you get the right mental attitude and you look at what Brother Brown did, the thing he went through to get to the will of God, you'll understand maybe a little bit more. They never started it from some mechanical affair. The grounds never started there. Therefore, that organization can never, never do the work of God. Let me put in there, false doctrine can never do it. False doctrine cannot do it. God is not in false doctrine, don't like it, and never did he formulate false doctrine. Where did false doctrine come from? It didn't come from the, listen to me, it didn't come from the Holy Ghost in their heart. Because the Holy Ghost can't be wrong. Where did it come from? Right here. It came from your mind. Any doctrine against the Word of God was formulated in some man's mind. That's why I said before, if you're witnessing to somebody, they said, oh, oh, y'all just like, y'all live in the Old Testament, we live in the New Testament, that's a bunch of baloney. But we live in both.
Amen.
But all you got to do is say, look, if you got a girl sitting there with a pair of pants on and cutting her hair, say, who told you you could do that? Who told you it was all right for you to wear pants? Some man had to tell you because the Bible didn't.
That's right.
At least our sisters are trying to live by the Bible, and we can go back to the Old or New Testament, either one, and say, we're trying to live what the Bible says, not what some man said. Because remember, everything that's false is in your head. It's all in your head. I mean, how many times have people told you that? You get this ache and your pain, you get this there, you get this problem, you get this thing. Oh, man, it's all in your head. That's where it starts. Eve let Satan into her mind first. And she began to what? Think. Contrary to the word of God. One word. Not a whole list. The problem was, is she started preaching. Hello, somebody. Boy, it gets quiet when you're talking about women preachers. It started with her preaching the sermon. What she should have done, she said, look, I'm the weaker vessel. Let me go get Adam. You know what would have happened to that beast? He'd have went to the far end of the garden.
That's
Amen? He wasn't going to challenge Adam. But he challenged Eve because of her, as we were explaining last Sunday. And I hope y'all enjoyed that. I enjoyed answering those questions last Sunday. I've got some good comments off of it. And I hope I've answered the question that you asked. Right? Because a woman is a weaker vessel. That's just the way it is. All right? But a Holy Ghost-filled woman can teach you something. She just can't do it from back here. All right? But we know that. I don't have to preach on women preachers. My heavens. But that's where it all got started, women preachers. She preached a sermon that was wrong. And that's why Brother Brown said God had to what? Now take a double covenant. The man had to be above the woman. She couldn't teach or preach or usurp authority in the church. The man was the head. All right? Listen, when we try to usurp authority over Christ, which is our head, what happens to us? We come out from under the will of God, and we're standing out there like Eve, naked and alone, and here comes the beast. I'll teach you something you've never heard before. Boy, I have heard some things I've never heard before. I didn't want to hear them again either. Aaron, right? Amen. But let's don't be selfish. You think I'm doing this over and over again, but a selfish attitude will hurt you. It will not. In Christianity, being selfish is not a part of you. Shouldn't be a part of you. This know also that the last days, last days. All right, we're in the last days, are we not? We're in more of the last days than even Timothy writing this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. What caused perilous times? They were lovers of their own self. All right? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Do you know what's going to happen when the squeeze comes? And have y'all been reading in the paper how that Biden is trying to change the currency? You know, they come out with that Bitcoin thing at one time, you know. But they're coming out with a thing now. This is chip. And they can cut your income off, or they can add your income here. There'll be a mark, Brother Brown said. You won't be able to buy or sell. I wondered how that could happen when I had cash, if you put up cash. Because cash is king, not when it's not backed anymore. When it's not backed anymore, you come over here and you have to do what the Federal Reserve says. And the Federal Reserve says, well, we're not taking $10 bills or $20 bills. You got to take what we give you and go to Walmart, go to the grocery store. It's like I told that brother that was, he was buying gold bars. And 1 ounce of gold is like what now, $1,600, something like that. I said, you got one gold bar. I said, what you going to do? You going to pull up to the gas station and take your knife out and shave off $20 worth of gold? No, that guy's going to see that, and he's going to say, your gallon of gas is $1,355. And you're going to have to give him that whole bar. You're not going to be able to buy a piece off and hand it to him. See what I mean about silly people trying to make it? I'm just sorry for that brother, because you know what he was doing all that stuff for? In case he didn't make a rapture, he could make it through the tribulation. Boy, I don't even want to have anything to do with making it through the tribulation. Amen? I want to get out of here on eagle's wings, not worry about building a bunker. You see the other day where those rich people are taking those old silos that's got the rockets in them, and they're building layers, and they're buying layers like millions of dollars a piece. And that's to make it through a Holocaust or make it through a disaster. Give me some eagle wings. Give me some feathers. Give me the feathers of the Holy Ghost, and I'll promise you it'll change your life. There's no concrete that's going to save you, I'll promise you that. And there's no gold that's going to save you. But he will save those that what? Get in the Word of God. Get established. Don't be tossed. Brother Brown said, listen, you'll take the mark of the beast and you won't even know it. Isn't that correct? Is that what he said? He said, you'll take the mark and you won't even know it. You'll be in that system and you'll not know it till you get in. Wow. See, that's your foolish virgin. Everybody with me? I don't know why I'm saying this today, but you know what? A little bit of life lessons don't hurt anybody. So each day I want to live not for myself. If I live for myself, I live a selfish life. I want to live for others and give what strength I have, not to myself and to my own pleasure, but for the benefit of others that'll build the kingdom of God. You know, when we talk about in our mind, we do. As human beings, do unto others as you have them do unto you don't work. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, today it's me. It don't work for me. But that's where my war is. I know to do good. Didn't Paul say that? The things I would not, I do. Paul wasn't lost during that whole conversation. It looks like he was lost and he was saved. He was lost and he was saved. No, he was a prophet writing the Bible. He said, the things I would not, I do. The things I do not, I would. There's a warring in my members. Not here. Here. Which one I let win? Chief. White dog, black dog. But let's don't be selfish. Because you know what? When we get to the statue of perfect man, that takes all the selfishness completely out of the picture. Amen. Completely out of the picture. Why did Ananias and Sapphira have to die? Because they were selfish. They did not want to give everything they had to those disciples. They wanted to hold back a little bit for themselves. Is that all right? Brother Brown said that will continue and be in the end time. There'll be an Ananias and Sapphira spirit come among the church. What? You're not giving your all. And I see it happening now. You can't give your half. You can't give your third. They probably just kept back enough. They probably thought, they're not going to miss this. They're not going to miss it. And he got his wife involved and got them both killed. And Paul said, Peter said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. So they were in trouble with the Holy Ghost, not with Peter. Peter probably, in his humanity, didn't want to do what he did. In his humanity, he didn't want to put the curse on them. But you got to think in your mind. See, there he had to have a mind transformation that it wasn't him they were dealing with. It was the Holy Ghost they were lying to, not to Peter. You can tell me a lie and we can deal with it, but don't lie to God. Do not lie to God, because you know what? He already knows what you did before you start lying. Amen. To our own selfish being, to our own ambition, that we could completely surrender ourselves and be yoked to Him no matter what the rest of the world thinks. Amen. What the rest of the world does, we're yoked with the fetters of love. We are prisoners. My feet is so yoked to Christ it won't dance. My eyes are so yoked to Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Till I, when I see these modern striptease on the street, it turns my head. My heart is so yoked in love to Him till I can't have love for this world anymore. My will is so yoked to Him till I don't even know what my ambitions are. Just wherever you lead, I'll follow, Lord. I will be a prisoner. Paul, a prisoner of Christ. And everybody knows this quote, we have to suffer to reign. Amen. You think about your life. All right, just think about your life for a minute. And the things you've had to give up since you were a Christian. Now, think about the things you gave up before you were a Christian. You hated to give up stuff. Come on, somebody, say amen. You hated to give it up. You didn't want to give this up. But when you become a child of God, a prisoner to God, a prisoner to what? The heart. It was easy for me to give up drinking, smoking, cursing. Easy. Now you say, well, wait a minute, brother. Wait, it wasn't easy for me. Yeah, but look at you sitting here today. Folks, listen. You can't put your battles on me and me on you and say, well, you need to work it this way. Different to everybody. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. All right? What's the worst thing to do is you know, you work on a situation and not just your wife, and Jim doesn't do this, but, you know, if you're working on a situation and your wife walks up and says, well, my dad wouldn't have handled it that way. Boy, you talking about righteous indignation? Because that daddy didn't know what we're going through. Everybody with me? Amen. We're all different individuals. And we're yoked together, so we need to work together. I'm telling this for a life lesson for all you. You need to work together. That's Amen? Amen. Listen, put the blame on the devil. Don't put the blame on your spouse. Put it on the devil. He's the one that started it. He's the author of it. But you know what? God may have allowed it for something to happen to what?
Amen.
To break your fetters. To make you start loving cats. When you didn't like them at all. I'm serious with that, though. I'm not trying to play. I'm serious. And y'all know that. I hated cats. I just couldn't stand to look at them. But now, I'm probably going to get one. June didn't know this. She didn't have a clue because I didn't want to discuss it with her because I knew what happened. The devil would get involved. Praise the Lord. Character building. You shouldn't hate the creatures of God. Now, wait a minute. When we start talking about rats, roaches, Rebecca, snakes. She called me one day, and I thought she had just absolutely fell out of an airplane. I heard the scream. Wah! Sister Rebecca, wait, it was right after Gary had passed away, and I said, oh, she has done jumped off the trailer. It was a snake in her bathtub. It was a rattlesnake, too. It was about that long. But it wasn't big enough to get over the thing. If it would have, it would have gotten her house. But she was, you know how that high voice. You know, I said, settle down. What's going on? Then she finally said, snake! I said, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Well, I thought it was outside. She said, come in. I thought, we're in trouble now. Go back to that back room, and she's got a garden tub, you know, this big. You call it a garden tub? Like a jacuzzi type tub. Thank goodness it wasn't shallow. But we took care of that snake. I didn't turn him loose outside. She wouldn't let me. She said, I want that thing out of here in pieces. I do not want him connected together when he leaves this place. And I say amen, too. But now, you see what I mean? Brother Branham, he would shoot animals for people because he was a good hunter. You know what? God gave him a gift. Let me tell you a life lesson here from a prophet, right? He would shoot animals for people. Now, see, that's against the law. Now, there are certain states, I want to make it right, there are certain states, and we'll finish right here. Well, I'll pick this up this afternoon. We're not even close to memory, reason, conscious affection. But there are certain states that you can buy, they call a group tag, where you buy one tag for a bear and four people can go, and whoever gets the bear first, they can use that tag. That's not where he was hunting at, though. And he would go out and shoot animals for them, and they would put their tag on it. You know what God said? Stop it. Hello, somebody. He didn't get caught by the game warden. God called him and said, you stop that. Don't do that no more. Why? Because you bring a reproach. What if he had got caught? Everybody with me? What if he had got caught by the game warden? Boy, oh boy, a prophet getting caught by the game warden. No, he got caught by God. Amen? You have to suffer to reign. The reason is, character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign. What is reign? Rule over. Because power apart from character, what we were just talking about. Anything outside of the power of God is of Satan. There's only two powers.
That's right.
God's power and Satan's power. There's only two. And remember, his is all-knowing, all-doing, all-eternal. Satan's is permitted. And since he wants to share even his throne. Well, in other words, if you have character, it's fit to rule. What? What are you going to rule over first? Rule over this first, Lord. All right? But if you rule, and what it told us in the book of Revelations 3, about verse 20-something, it says, we will what? Sit in his throne and reign with him in his throne as he overcame and sat with his Father in his throne. Not on, in. Not on, in. All right? And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and sat down on his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. Overcome what, Brother Branham? Yourself! Well, the devil just bothers me. You let him.
Come on.
Boy, it didn't go over good. You let him.
Come on.
Right. Because I'm going to read to you just this afternoon where Brother Brown says, the right mental attitude, your mental attitude, not your revelation, not your how many times you prayed, but your right mental attitude toward any promise of God, he'll have to make it come to pass. Wow. Let's read this real quick and then we'll close. Talking about gifts of God. But these gifts of God without these virtues in them makes a stumbling block to the unbeliever. Look, it's not accepted by God. He went through all the Pentecostals and they were up shouting, speaking in tongues, jumping up. You see on the screen the other day, he was speaking and somebody spoke in tongues and interpreted. It wasn't two sentences later somebody jumped up and spoke in tongues and interpreted. He was gracious to stop. But remember, he goes over and says, all right, Branham Tabernacle, let's don't be kids anymore. You take these tongues and gifts and you put them in the back room. You do that before the service starts. Don't do it while the service is going on, remember? All right? But it's not accepted by God. This has to be first. And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. The same as he seals the church ages as a unit. The way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual, made out of the same material like Eve was made out of Adam. Listen, there was no denying. That's why Adam couldn't destroy Eve.
Amen.
As we said Sunday, Eve didn't sell us out, folks.
Right.
Adam sold us out.
Right. But
she was so much him, she said, if she's going to die, I got to die.
Right.
Isn't that what Christ said? He took our judgment. He said, if she's going to die, I'm going to die for him. But see, he could come back and be the Redeemer. Adam could not. Adam could have love for his wife and shelter her and say, God, you got to take me. Didn't know what he did with Moses. Isn't that what he did with different ones? God, you got to take that. I believe that's what Brother Branham did. He didn't do it on a tape, but I believe Brother Branham would get along with God. And he said, God said, look, I'm going to wipe them Pentecostals off. Said, they're no good. They've stopped loving me. I'm going to wipe them off. I believe Brother Brown said, Lord, if you take them, you got to take me. Because he had the same attitude. If you take them, you got to take me. Paul stood up with those Corinthians. He said, y'all are whoremongers. Remember that whole list of things in Corinthians? Y'all were all these things. And such were some of you. But you're washed. In other words, God didn't give up on you.
Amen.
Your church age messenger didn't give up on you. And God's not going to give up on you. Your pastor's not going to give up on you. Amen? Here's the things you can have first. You can't impersonate them. You can't imitate them. They've got to be what? God sent and God born. Imitation only causes confusion. Listen to me. Imitation only causes confusion. We know this is a requirement. Musicians come. This is a requirement. If you're going to sit in this building today, it's your requirement to live by the Word of God. It's my requirement to live by the Word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen? And we fall and we fail, but guess what? There's a provision there when we do. There's a provision there called what? God, forgive me. I was caught in the wrong thing. I was caught in the wrong trap. Let's stand to our feet. I got caught yesterday. It's a day of confessional, I guess. I was heading home yesterday. And Brother Chris Long wanted me to call him. So I did. Well, the truck phone, my phone, didn't sync to the truck because June had been driving it. Yeah, Monica, get over here where you can see what I'm going to say. I'm finna tell something. She went. So, Brother John, I had to call Chris because I told him. I said, I'll tell you about Brother Mike. So guess what I did? Going down the road, almost got to Rail, Georgia. And I'm watching to make sure there's no cop because you're not supposed to do that. And I'm looking down here and I'm driving. And I'm talking to Brother Chris. And all of a sudden, I look up in the rearview mirror, Georgia State Patrol. And I didn't say, where'd you come from? As soon as I let the window down, I said, buddy, I know what I did. And I said, I'm sorry. And I told him, one excuse to them is as good as another. I said, but I had to talk to this brother about it, and I couldn't get my hands free to work. He said, well, you should have just laid it up on the dash. So he took my, made sure I wasn't a felon, take me to jail or any outstanding warrants. So he comes back and he hands it to me. He said, I'm going to give you a warning. He said, don't do that no more. I said, buddy, I won't do this. As long as I can help it without an emergency. He said, look, if it won't work, he said, just set it on your dash and you can listen to it from there. He was really super nice. I thought he was going to be really mean. But he was sitting between two trees. I didn't see him. He said, I was sitting there between two trees. And he said, I saw you had your cell phone in your hand. I said, so that's where you came from. God's watching you. And the devil is too. But I said, look, I said, I shouldn't have done that. I said, I'm sorry. He said, if you'd have been texting, I'd give you a ticket. He said, it's a lot different doing this. He said, I don't think of holding the cell phones no more than holding a sandwich. He said, you're going to drop it and you're going to be distracted. But anyway, so just remember, God's watching. And I won't do that no more. If I can help it, I won't. Now, sometimes in emergencies, you do grab your phone. Y'all not done that. Oh, help us, Lord. We got one. Leading singing. We got two. Oh, my. We got three. Deacon back there. Oh, deacon's wife, four. Deacon, five. Anybody else? Oh, well. You've been on the phone while you're driving. You better get out of that wheel and let Jeffrey drive, okay? Let your daddy drive, okay? Y'all shouldn't be letting him drive. That's another thing. But we've all done it. But I was watching. See what I mean? I was watching to get by so I could get by with it. Wasn't thinking nothing. I was just waiting, Brother Collie. I just wanted him to come this way, and I was just going to drop the phone down. But when I saw the red lights, I was talking to Chris. We were right in the middle of the conversation. I said, I got to call you back. And I hit the thing. I laid it out over there. I called him back. Finally got the hands free to work. I called him back. He said, what happened? I said, Georgia State Patrol stopped me and reminded me about the law. So maybe God's reminding us about the law. Maybe God's reminding us to what? It's not the big things. It's the little foxes that spoil the barn. Amen. So when I drove off, I said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if it was an emergency. Forgive me for that. And I asked the guy, I said, please, I said, forgive me for doing this. I said, he said, well, I'm not going to give you a ticket. He said, I should give you a warning. He said, I don't think it's no more than eating a cheeseburger is what he said. He said, but I have to stop you. He said, but if you'd have been doing this, he said, I'd give you a ticket. So remember that. How'd you know that? I thought Sue was like, right. Okay. But you see that last statement? Equipped for the battle. That's what he's doing. He's equipping us for this battle that's coming up. We fight a battle all the time, but listen, there's a great battle to be fought. And where's it going to start? Right here. Right here. Let's sing a song.
You deserve the glory and the as we pray.
Good time in the Lord. Because that's what he is. He's a destroyer. What about a man that wants to bring an army and they're all going to die? And he knows that. He just don't believe it. But thank God we're in the right army.
As we pray.